a second chance, too. So, God sometimes displays himself as God and sometimes as a human being, but the rascal and personalists dismiss his pastimes as legend or mythology. Either they do not believe in the Sastras, or they interpret them in their own way, using Artha Kakuti Nyaya, the logic of half a hen. Once a man kept a hen that delivered a golden egg every day. The foolish man thought, "It is very profitable, but it is expensive to feed this hen. Better that I cut off her head and save the expense of feeding her. Then I will get the egg without any charge." The impersonalists accept the Sastras in this way. They think, "Oh, this is not good, it is inconvenient. We shall cut this portion out." When Krishna says, "One should see me everywhere," the rascal may have just think it is very palatable, but when he says, "Give up everything and surrender to me," they disagree. They accept what is convenient and reject what is not. But the Acharyas do not distort the Sastras in this way. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, "I accept whatever you have said. The absolute truth full of knowledge, the Vedanta Sutra, is accepted as the supreme authority of all Vedic literature. And the Vedanta Sutra, 1.1.2, says, Janmadiyasayata, the absolute truth is the original source of everything. Janma means birth. There is no question of interpretation, the meaning is clear. Everything in this material world comes out of the absolute truth, just as this body comes out of the womb of our mother. Janmadiyasayata, beginning from birth up to the annihilation, everything is an emanation from the absolute truth. The absolute truth is that which is the source of everything, the reservoir of everything, and the maintainer of everything. What are the characteristics of the original source? The Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.1.1, says, Janmadiyasayaton Vedictaratiskarthasvabhijnasvarat, the original source of everything must be supremely cognizant of everything, both directly and indirectly. He is the Supreme Spirit, and he knows everything, because he is perfect. We are also spirit, spiritual sparks, and as soon as a spiritual spark takes shelter in the womb of a mother, it develops a body. That means that the spiritual spark is the source of the body and all its mechanisms. Although it is by our energy that this body is produced, we do not know how our veins are created or how our bones are created. And because we do not know, we are not God. But Krishna knows. This is the characteristic of the absolute truth, he knows everything. Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.26, "I know everything that has happened in the past, everything that is happening now, and everything that will happen in the future." We become cognizant of the absolute truth by accepting knowledge from a spiritual master, but how has Krishna become perfectly cognizant? How is Krishna's knowledge so perfect? Because he is fully independent, Svarat. He does not have to learn anything from anyone. Some rascal may try to realize himself as God, by taking knowledge from Mayavati, but Krishna is God without taking knowledge from anyone. That is God. Chapter 3. At the final hour, Sukadeva Goswami continued, because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamila was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed his activities. When Ajamila chewed food and ate it, he called the child to chew and eat, and when he drank he called the child to drink also. Always engaged in taking care of the child and calling his name, Narayana, Ajamila could not understand that his own time was now exhausted and that death was upon him. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamila, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.25-27. A child's name. Here it is clearly mentioned that the child Narayana was so young that he could not even speak or walk properly. Since the old man was very attached to the child, he enjoyed the child's activities, and because the child's name was Narayana, the old man always chanted the holy name of Narayana. Although Ajamila was referring to the small child and not to the original Narayana, the name of Narayana is so powerful that, even by chanting his son's name, he was becoming purified. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that, if one's mind is somehow or other attracted by the holy name of Krishna, Kasma Kanapi Apaina Mana Krishna Navase, one is on the path of liberation. In India, even today, parents often give their children names of God, such as Krishna, Govinda, or Narayana. Thus the parents chant the names Krishna, Govinda, or Narayana and get the chance to be purified. At the time of death, Ajamila was chanting the name of Narayana in connection with his youngest child. Since Ajamila was the son of a Brahmana, he had been accustomed to worshipping Narayana in his youth, because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of Narayana. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajamila was calling for his son, by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayana he had very faithfully worshipped in his youth. The value of remembering Narayana at the time of death is explained in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.1.6. Etavan Sankhya Yugabhyam Svadharma Parinistheya Janmalabha Parapumsam Anti Narayana Smriti. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by acquirement of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty, is to remember Narayana, the personality of Godhead, at the end of life. Somehow or other, therefore, Ajamila consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death and became all perfect. Death, a critical time of life. As mentioned above, one's mentality at the time of death is all important. But if we become complacent and think, oh, death takes place, what of it, then we cannot advance on the spiritual path. Just as the air carries fragrances, so a person's mentality at the time of death will carry him to his next life. If he has cultivated the mentality of a Vaisnava, a pure devotee of Krishna, then he will immediately be transferred to Vaikuntha. But if he has cultivated the mentality of an ordinary karmi, a fruitive worker, then he will have to stay in this material world to suffer the consequences of the kind of mentality he has thus created. Suppose I am a businessman. If I simply do business up till the point of death, naturally my mentality will be business. One Calcutta businessman at the time of death asked about the management of his mill. He might have taken his next birth as a rat in his mill. This is possible. At the time of death, whatever you are thinking will carry you to your next body. Krishna is very kind, and whatever mentality one is absorbed in at the time of death, Krishna will provide an appropriate body. All right, you are thinking like a rat? Become a rat. You are thinking like a tiger? Become a tiger. You are thinking like my devotee? Come to me. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can mold our thoughts so that we are always thinking of Krishna. As Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, 6.47, Yajanam api sarvasamad gadanantarat mana, the first class yogi is he who always thinks of me within his heart. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for helping the members of human society come to this state of full Krishna consciousness. Then at the end of life one will simply remember Krishna. Whatever you practice throughout your life will determine your consciousness at death. That is natural. One who properly prepares for the time of death is really intelligent, while one who thinks he can remain at home forever and enjoy the association of his wife and children is a fool. In illusion, a man thinks, my bank balance, my nice house, and my family will protect me. But these cannot protect anyone. The Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.4 declares, Dipatiya Galatridis, Atmasanias Vasatsv Api, Tesam Pramato Nidhanam, Pasayan Api Napasayadi. One who is mad thinks, my strong body, my grown-up children, my good wife, and my bank balance will save me. We are simply struggling in this material world like soldiers fighting on a battlefield. Our soldiers are our children, our wife, our bank balance, our countrymen, etc. This Srimad Bhagavatam warns us not to take shelter of such fallible soldiers. Even though a man has seen that his father and grandfather, who were once living, are existing no more, he does not see that likewise everyone, including himself, will be destroyed. How can he protect his son? How can his son protect him? These questions do not arise for the materialist who is simply engrossed in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Chapter 4. Neither birth nor death. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Ajamila then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraja. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered, and because of attachment to his child, who was playing nearby, Ajamila began to call him loudly by his name. Thus with tears in his eyes he somehow, or other chanted the holy name of Narayana, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.28-29, anxious to save themselves from death. At the time of death, people become very anxious to save themselves, especially those who have been sinful. Of course, the soul itself is not subject to death, but leaving the present body and entering into another body is very painful. At death, the living entity can no longer bear to remain in his present body. The pain is so acute. Sometimes when a person's life becomes too painful, he commits suicide. But suicide is a sin punishable by the laws of karma. When Ajamila was dying, he saw three ferocious and very frightening persons with ropes in their hands, unruly hair on their heads, and bodily hair like bristles. These assistants of Yamaraja, the Yamadutas, had come to drag Ajamila out of his body and take him to the court of Yamaraja. Sometimes a dying man cries out in fear when he sees the Yamadutas. Ajamila too became very fearful. Fortunately, even though Ajamila was referring to his son, he chanted the holy name of Narayana, and therefore the order carriers of Narayana, the Visnudutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamila was extremely afraid of the ropes of Yamaraja, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayana, he meant to call his son. The appearance and disappearance of Krishna and his devotees. One may ask, the devotees die, and the non-devotees also die. What is the difference? It is like this: the mother cat may catch a rat and carry it in her mouth, and she also carries her kittens in her mouth. It is the same mouth, but the kittens are comfortable and safe, whereas the rat is feeling the jaws of death. Similarly, at the time of death, the devotees are transferred to the spiritual realm, Vaikuntha, whereas the ordinary sinful man is dragged down to the hellish regions by the Yamadutas, the constables of Yamaraja. This was apparently to be Ajamila's fate. In the Bhagavad Gita, 4.9, Krishna says, Janma karma kami divayam, my appearance and disappearance are spiritual, transcendental, they are not ordinary. Why does Krishna appear in this world? That he explains in the previous verse, BG 4.8, Paratranaya Sadhyunam, Vanasaya Kataskritam, Dharma Samsthapanarthaya, Sampavami Huge, to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I appear millennium after millennium. God's only business is to protect the faithful devotees and to kill the demoniac. Therefore we find Lord Vishnu pictured with his weapons, the club and chakra, disc, for protecting the devotees, and the lotus flower and conch for their benediction. Similarly, transcendental are the appearance and disappearance of Krishna's devotees who are sent to this material world to preach the glories of the Lord. According to the principles of Vaishnavism, both the appearance and the disappearance of such Vaishnavas, or devotees of Vishnu, Krishna, are all auspicious. Therefore, we hold festivals in their honor on the anniversaries of both days. Actually, even ordinary living entities never take birth or die. What to speak of Krishna and his devotees? Sometimes atheistic men say God is dead. They do not know that even the smallest living entity does not die. So how can God be dead? Atheists are described in the Bhagavad Gita as mudhas, or foolish rascals. They have no knowledge, but pose themselves as learned men and mutter something that is good neither for them nor the public. Liberation via thinking of Krishna, because somehow or other a Jamala became absorbed in thinking of Narayana, or Krishna, at the time of death, he immediately became eligible for liberation, even though he had acted sinfully throughout his entire life. One can think of Krishna in any capacity. The gopis, Krishna's coward girlfriends, were absorbed in thinking of Krishna out of what appeared to be lusty desire. Sisupala became absorbed in thinking of Krishna out of anger, and Kamsa incessantly thought of Krishna out of fear. Kamsa and Sisupala were demons, but because they thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout their lives, and at the time of death, they were granted liberation by Krishna himself. Of course, it is best if one thinks of Krishna favorably. Bhakti, or devotional service, means thinking favorably of Krishna. Sisupala and Kamsa were not devotees, because the word devotee implies someone who is favorably disposed toward Krishna. Thinking of Krishna in the opposite way, however, is also accepted by Krishna. Krishna is so kind that anyone who thinks of him always, even as an enemy, becomes the greatest yogi and attains liberation. Thus the results of yogic performances and austerities were achieved even by such inimical personalities as Kamsa and Sisupala. In the impersonal Brahman effulgence, Brahmajyoti, we find not only the highest learned scholars, jnanis, who have struggled to attain Brahman, but also those persons who constantly think of Krishna in enmity. They also enter into that spiritual effulgence. Thus the destination achieved by the jnanis is also achieved by the enemies of Krishna. This, however, is not very desirable. A living entity can remain for some time in the Brahman effulgence, Brahmajyoti, as a tiny shining spiritual particle. As there are many molecular particles of sunshine, similarly the living entities can live as small particles of spiritual effulgence in the Brahmajyoti. But they are subject to fall down into this material creation again. By nature, the living entities want varieties of sense enjoyment, but in that impersonal existence there are no varieties of enjoyment. So when they desire to enjoy, they have to come again to this material world. Therefore, if one merges into the Brahman effulgence, there is every chance of falling down. Krishna's devotees do not desire liberation, because their only interest is to be engaged in devotional service to Krishna, whether in the material world or in the spiritual world. Still, by the mercy of Krishna, they attain liberation by being elevated to the planet of Goloka Vrindavana, the residence of Krishna, where the material miseries of birth, Death, old age, and disease are conspicuous by their absence. Thus a devotee's position is different from that of the impersonalists and jnanis. The devotee's position is very exalted. He also passes through the Brahman effulgence, but he is not attracted to it. He is attracted to the Vaikuntha planets, especially Goloka Vrindavana, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives eternally with his associates. Chapter 5. The Vishnu Dutas to the rescue. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, the order carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, immediately arrived when they heard the holy name of their master from the mouth of the dying Ajamila, who had certainly chanted without offense, because he had chanted in complete anxiety. The order carriers of Yamaraja were snatching the soul from the core of Ajamila's heart, but with resounding voices the Vishnu Dutas forbade them to do so." Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.30-31. The messengers dispatched by the Lord, the Yamadutas, who are the assistants of Yamaraja, the superintendent of death, had come to drag Ajamila away. Ajamila appealed to his youngest son, "Narayana, Narayana, please come here. I'm dying." Krishna is so kind that, as soon as he heard Ajamila chant Narayana, at the time of his death, he immediately dispatched his assistants, the Vishnu Dutas, to give Ajamila shelter. Srila Visvanatha Chakravarti Thakura remarks that the Vishnu Dutas came because they heard Ajamila chant the holy name of their master, Narayana, without considering why he was chanting. While chanting the name of Narayana, Ajamila was actually thinking of his son, but simply because they heard Ajamila chant the Lord's name, the Vishnu Dutas immediately came for Ajamila's protection. Chanting of the Lord's holy name is actually meant for his glorification. Ajamila, however, did not glorify the Lord. He simply chanted the holy name of Narayana because of his excessive attachment to his son. Nevertheless, because of his past good fortune in having rendered devotional service to Narayana in his youth, he apparently chanted the holy name in full devotional service and without offense. Thus the chanting was sufficient to cleanse him of all sinful reactions and assure him the protection of the Vishnu Dutas. The name Narayana has the full potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, or Krishna. That is the secret of Namasankirtana, chanting the names of God. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, we make immediate contact with Krishna himself. The reason for this is that the Lord's name is not material, it is spiritual and absolute. Thus there is no difference between Krishna and his name. Snatching the soul. When the Vishnu Dutas arrived, they spoke to the Yamadutas with extreme gravity, "What are you doing? Stop. You cannot take this man to Yamaraja." A Vaisnava, one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Because Ajamila had chanted the holy name of Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yamadutas not to touch him. By speaking with resounding voices, The Visnudutas threatened to punish the Yamadutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamila's soul from his heart. The order carriers of Yamaraja have jurisdiction over all sinful living entities, but the messengers of Lord Vishnu are capable of punishing anyone, including Yamaraja, if he wrongs a Vaisnava. Modern scientists do not know where to find the cell within the body with their material instruments, but here the Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explains that the soul is within the core of the heart, Hridaya. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were trying to extract the soul of Ajamila. The heart is part of the mechanical arrangement of the body. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.61, Isvarasarvabhutanam, HRDDsrajunatisthati, Brahmayan Sarvabhutani, Yantaratani Maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine, made of the material energy. Yantra means machine, such as an automobile. The driver of the machine of the body is the individual soul, who is also its director or proprietor, but the supreme director and proprietor is the personality of Godhead in his form as the super soul. One's body is created through the agency of Maya according to one's activities in one's past life, and according to one's activities in this life, Maya creates another body for the next life. At the appropriate time, one's next body is immediately chosen, and both the individual soul and the super soul transfer to that particular bodily machine. This is the process of transmigration of the soul.